Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 7:30 British Summer Time. I guess I'll kick this off by talking about the two sort of big themes that I covered in the comment today, which are bonds, or treasuries, and the dollar. And it has been a very mixed day for both. The dollar started out on the day pretty weak, and at the moment has just completely reversed it. I'm just looking at the yen at the moment, and the low of the day was pretty close to 108. It was at 108.10, and it's currently sitting at 108.68. So it's rallied right back up to the open, and even made a new high for the day. So pretty close to the highs there, and very strong reversal in fortunes for the dollar. The euro at the moment is down a bit. It's at 128.48. Down 2/1 of a cent, and the British pound is at 168.85. That's down over a penny, sorry, over a cent, which is really quite a big reversal, and I think it really did look like it was going to do this yesterday. And I was surprised when I came in this morning and found that the dollar was down. But it did sort of rally from the lows, and the lows were at a fairly significant level because that's where the last dynamic, where that big tail was 4 days ago on the first. So it's still looking like we're in a dollar rally phase, and we're still on track to take out those highs that were made in February, possibly make new highs. And you'll see in the comment the various ramifications that that would have, but what it does do is it makes it just that bit harder for the metals to go up, especially the precious metals. And the precious metals are pretty much down across the board here. Gold is down 60 cents. It's at 426.10, and palladium is down $1.10 at 250 cents. I'm just trying to find silver. Silver is at 704. It's down 3.5 cents. David has buy orders at 7 and underneath 7, and sell orders at 720 and above, just on that baby steps trading strategy. When I was talking with him today, he was thinking that it was that it looked like it was going to go up, but he felt that if he didn't have the sell orders in at 720, that it was a bit too much of a risk to take, and it would be losing profits in what are undeniably very difficult markets. So that's why he definitely has maintained those sell orders in there. We were also looking at the yen today, and he's quite happy with to stay in that trade. For the moment, but he is watching it very closely. Interestingly enough, it did stay above that 108 level, and we may well see it go to 110. It doesn't look out of the question at all. But of course, we'll see what happens over the next couple of days. I posted that chart of copper because copper is very volatile, and it is pressuring the highs at the moment. I mean, any one of these days it could make a new high, even into this dollar rally. And I mean, that is fundamentally very bullish for the metal. Of course, it's not something that you can really back into the back of a dollar rally, purely because there's just too much risk of these real big bungee jumps on the downside, and they could happen at any time. I mean, this is the LME we're talking about, and that's open floor trading, and that means every trader knows what's in their book and what clients are doing and where stops are, and it could be very easy to take out stops and cause one of those bungee jumps and give them a very nice weekend at someone's expense. But while that's not out of the question, it doesn't look particularly likely that's going to happen in the next couple of days either. But of course, these things can happen at any time. I guess it was good news that the London Petroleum Exchange went electronic today, so that ended open outcry here. I think that's to compete with the NYMEX exchange that just opened in Dublin, so competing for the Brent crude contract. I personally think that open floor trading is a disaster as regards clients, because floor traders are primarily trading their own book. But if the London Metal Exchange were ever to go electronic, I can see that I think it would really bring a lot less volatility to the markets, so that's something to be hoped for. Moving into some of the stock markets, and stock markets were a bit sort of up and down today, but they are up at the moment, and the Dow Jones is up 54, half a percent at 10,540. S&P is up 5 at 1189, and the Nasdaq is up 16 at 2015. That's a good move in the Nasdaq, and it really did need it. But just looking at these patterns, while these are nice up days, and the Dow has had, three or four nice consecutive up days up between 25 and 50 points every day, but it's not going to have broken that downtrend until it gets to 10,600. Now the door is definitely open for these things to go back up and test the highs, but they have yet to do it. As long as the dollar continues to rally and treasuries continue to go up in price, then the door is open for these stock markets. With that in mind, the US Treasuries really have had not a particularly good day today. They're currently down 16, so half a point at 11.09, and they were up quite a bit higher earlier on in the day. The high of the day was at 12.07, so that's been quite a big reversal. They're currently off the lows just by a couple of points, but that is bordering on the size of a dynamic. So all depending on whether we get follow through tomorrow, that really could shut the door on the stock markets. Stock markets are still looking good, but if we see these treasuries coming down significantly over the next couple of days, maybe going down to 110 or even lower, that is going to put a lot of pressure on stock markets. So that is definitely something to be aware of, and being if you are long, especially of these European markets, which have really been doing absolutely fantastically, especially things like the MIB, which the S&P MIB, which hit a new high today, up 348 points, or just over 1%. That made a new high. The Swiss market just made a new high as well, up a third of a percent at 6,023. So we can see, excuse me, we can see these European markets continuing to outperform on the upside, and those trends are still really quite good and still relatively consistent. So they are definitely performing better than pretty much everything else, because there is no other stock markets in the world making new highs apart from these Europeans. So that it is definitely turning into an area to watch. But just as I said in the comment, if liquidity is drained even further, I mean, we've only seen the tip of the iceberg in the draining of liquidity, and that has really hammered down some of the emerging markets, especially the Latin Americans. Now they're up today. Mexico is up over 2%, and Brazil is up 1.5%, but they really have been hammered, and those kinds of moves are not particularly big. If we saw a move on Brazil, something like 700 or 800 points, that would constitute an upward dynamic, and that would tell us that we've reached the lows. But that's not what we're seeing just yet. So generally in stock markets, things are still relatively steady. Just looking at the Nikkei was down 16 today, so not a whole pile, and the S&P ASX was up 8.9 at 4,127. So just let me pull that chart up of Australia, and essentially it might be up, but it really is just drifting to the side. When I showed this chart to David today, he said, "Well, it's rallied. There was a failed breakout at the bottom, but where's the dynamic?" You really have to ask yourself that question when you look at the chart. If it is going to go back up and make a new high or even test the old high, where is the dynamic? When is it going to happen? It's gone sideways now for considerably longer than it has at any other time it's rallied from a low. So that's another inconsistency in the trend. But there is also a strong likelihood that a lot of these markets are going to range sideways for quite a long time. And if bonds stay steady, if they more or less range sideways without having any great falls, chances are that we're either going to see the stock markets go sideways for an extended period, or to make said marginal new highs come back and test the lows, maybe make a new low. So, I mean, that will play out over the next couple of months, we'll see. But at the moment, a lot of these stock markets are making their minds up, so we'll have to wait over the next couple of days. I'll just have a quick look at some of these soft commodities. And wheat is pretty much flat on the day. It's at 314 and a quarter. I'm just looking at all the front months. Soybeans is up a quarter of a point. It's at 623 and a half, so definitely some support there at 600. Corn. Sorry, I pulled up the wrong one. Corn is down a point and three quarters at 205 and a half. That's coming right down into the top of the base formation we saw in January and February. So that's definitely coming down into a bit of a buying range. Oats, which was enormously volatile last week, it was just up and down like a yo-yo. It's pretty steady. It's up three today at 157 and a half. In other words, it's straight back into that sideways range that we've seen for the last more or less 6 months. That big dynamic we saw right at the end of last month was countermanded exactly the day afterwards, and came down a couple of days, and it's right back into the range. So pretty much doing nothing exciting at the moment. Just looking at some of the met or the meats, feeder cattle are down 0.15. They're at 103 point 103.92. I'll just quickly pull up pork bellies, and those are. They're up just over half a point at 92.75. Both of those patterns, they're really sort of messy patterns, so there's not really an awful lot there. I also have a quick look at the sugar contract, which was right down to support. It's up today 0.09. It's at 8.66. So that hasn't quite yet broken the sort of the 6 week downtrend. Would need to rally up to 880 and hold it there a while, maybe a little bit more. But it's a possibility that this could be rallying from the base. You'll see also from the comment of the day that we have quite a lot of enhancements to the chart library. Three new types of charts, so we can now do divisions, multiplications, and subtractions. I only have the 3 month contracts and the metals up there, so I can't make the backwardation charts yet. I'd have to get them to put up the dailies, or download the prices from Bloomberg for me, and I'll be able to put up backwardations tomorrow. But of course, there is absolutely no limit on the number of charts we can have, so anything you want, just drop us an email, and if I can do it, I'll put it up. I suppose the major enhancements that we are looking forward to getting onto the site are having overlay charts. So you can have one on top of the other, or one above and one below the other. We're going to have both of those types of charts. And obviously for these ratios, as much history as we can possibly get. At the moment, our chart engine can only do about 10 years. So they are programming in an enhancement to put it up to, maybe upwards of 50 to 75 years. So that will, I find this very exciting, and I'm really looking forward to really getting a world-class charting package up on the site. But again, anything you need, or anything at all, just drop us an email. And again, David would like to thank you all for the stream of emails coming in, wishing him well. And thank you very much.